So
this conference will.
So let's talk about nonverbal communication. We spend so much time, of course, in network marketing talking about verbal communication, what to say, what's your elevator speech, how do you break the ice, how do you, wow, right? I mean, don't we? I mean, we spend an awesome amount of time. In fact, we talk about natural selling by Michael Oliver. All these things were about words to use, what to say it, how to best approach people, how do I break the ice, how do I get to know someone, how do I build trust, how do I build, you know, all the confidence, on and on and on. And we get so worried and wrought up about the words that come out of our mouths. And I have a tendency to tell people that, first of all, quit worrying about it, because if you're worried about it and fearful about it, you're going to make a mess of it, right? Because that just screws things up. So the idea is that you want to approach somebody and you want to be as much about who are you, what is the person you are, and how are you coming across to somebody else? How are you going to make them feel like they can trust and want to be associated with you? And some of you might doubt whether, I don't think I'm a person that somebody would want to associate with. Well, then you got more work to do on becoming the person you choose to be. I always love it when people tell me, I'm going to, go to Mount Baldy and figure out who I am. And I go, well, just choose it. They look at me like, what do you mean, Mary Jo? I go, well, just choose it, You kind of just choose who you're going to be. You didn't land from the moon on this earth to be a certain person with an exact type of personality. You're choosing who you're going to be. You're choosing your ethics. You're choosing your integrity. And that's why you come across all these issues in your life from time to time, because you're fighting up against something maybe that you want to be, but you're really not. You're not showing up that way because it's easy to fall into bad habits. So the idea is just choosing into it. So our concept of being the person we want to be and presenting that to somebody is very important. But what you're going to learn today and hear about today, which I'm sure you've heard before, is the concept that body language, how we communicate with our facial expressions, our hands, our body, all these things that we have to use, our physical presence, they're just constantly throwing out information and languaging. The thing that fascinated me the most about when I read this article and then drafted up our outline for today was the fact that how little I use this. Is there anyone on the call that uses body language a lot when they're working with people? Anyone? You can take yourself off mute. I'm just seeing if I'm catching a great crowd here that's going, Mary Jo, you're right. I rarely ever view people and look at the body language. Right? Is that how most of you feel? Well, if that's how most of you feel, then you're on the right call, because you're right in the same position I am. I listen so intently to what people say. It's so important to me to really hear them. But really hearing them is really hearing their body as well. And that's one thing we need to start focusing on. The awareness of body language is about both yours and theirs. So understand that you can't walk into a conversation and just be really alert to their body language. You must really look at how you're behaving. What is your behavioral pattern? Are you closed or are you open? What are you doing in your own behavior as well? So it's not just a concept of being aware of theirs, but being aware of yours. So as we go through these different gestures that we have, facial and body gestures and things, think about yourself, too, in terms of how are you in a conversation with people. When you get
Mary Jo.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, Mary Jo. Since nobody else answered, I thought I would share just one quick thing, and that is, I don't do it in working. I just do it in my life, because I have a hearing impediment or something, whatever you want to call it.
Uh-huh.
I only have hearing in one ear, so all my life I was born with one with hearing in one ear. So all my life I've had to, just innately observe more intently, and as a result, as I'm 63 now, during my lifetime, people have told me that I'm more sensitive to other people. I sometimes end up interpreting in a threesome, because somebody's trying to say something to somebody else, and I can see they're not getting it, so I'll kind of throw in a couple words, and I know I do it because of watching, because I have to, because of my hearing. So I don't know if that helps at all.
No, it's wonderful. Thank you for the feedback. It's awesome. I mean, it's awesome, but it happened for you because of an inherent shortcoming or handicap, or you didn't have the hearing qualities that most of us have. But you made up for it tenfold because you relied on your other sense, which is the more powerful one, which is viewing and watching people. So you could see by just purely you understand by watching somebody's body. You can tell whether they're engaged or not engaged, whether they're accepting or not accepting, whether they're, you know, maybe deceitful or they're open and honest. And what an awesome, you know, that's awesome. I mean, I just honor you that you have that ability, because that's, you know, that's what we're vying for here. That's what I want to try to open people's eyes to, that it really, it's not something that, you know, comes overnight. It's something you really have to be aware of and you have to work on in order to develop that sense of it. And I no doubt you've become brilliant at it. And isn't it wonderful how people look at you today and they think, they always say, wow, you are so sensitive to people. Wow. And people are going, wow, what makes her more sensitive? Well, inherently, you are really hearing people in a whole different way.
I have to be more attentive to them.
Right.
I have to really watch and be more attentive. And a lot of times I see things some other people don't see.
Oh, I would guarantee that. I would guarantee that. And I'm one of those people. Because I'm just like, you know, I love to talk and I love to listen to people's words. And being, you know, after lawyering, you become kind of a wordsmith. So that's really powerful for you. And yet I'm missing the number one level of communication from people, not their words, but their body language. So, yeah.
Thanks, Mary Jo.
You bet. Thank you for sharing. So anyway, so let's do this. So awareness of body language, becoming aware. And I threw in some quantum think stuff here because, of course, I just went through the training with the quantum think and you know, I obviously absorbed a lot from that. It was fascinating, and there's more coming up on that if people want to get interested in reading that book after my book review last month. The gal, Diane Collins, is doing free sessions starting next month, going through all the distinctions, like one or two a month. So, and it's free for anyone who's reading her book. So what a great opportunity that is for those of you out there. And if you want more information on that, I can get that for you. But they made that offer at the end of the class, and it wasn't just for the people that signed up for her course. It was for anyone who's reading her book. She's going to be doing these free sessions, like webinars, on a monthly basis to help people really understand the distinctions, which is great. But not going too much into that, but, you know, when the distinction they made in that class was in quantum think was listening with your entire body, and it was a fascinating concept. Now, she didn't really talk about body language, but she talked about being in one conversation. So it just heightens your interconnectedness with a person when you're being in one conversation, and that's what they talked about. It's you create something new and different in that interaction rather than just purely superficial words communication. So you just allows you to experience each other at a whole entirely different level. So that was fascinating as well, that whole quantum think experience over it. The science says that over 70% of our communication is nonverbal, over 70%. Lydia said she just read a recent article that said 73%. So over 70% is accurate. It's coming out in many different forms today. We realize it more and more. The good news is, as I stated earlier, that our subconscious really is already in the understanding of the meanings of gestures, posture, and voice inflection. We already have an understanding of that subconsciously. But the problem is that without training, we don't know how to apply the information that we gain. So we have some information that's fed into our brain. We subconsciously translate body language into what it means in many instances, but we don't know what to do with that information. We're not trained in it, so it just dies. It's kind of like it's just added info that never plays an impact on our actions, the actions we take. And what we're going to try to do today is try to take that to another level. First be the awareness level, secondly the subconscious, and then conscious taking in of that information to take action to create the best possible results from what we see. Importance of first impression. It doesn't matter how many books you've read about, you know, sales or network marketing or whatever, you always know that first impression is critical. That the majority of people in the first few moments they talk to you, whether it's first 3 minutes, 5 minutes, they have already assessed you up and down, and they've decided, do they like you or not like you? And are they going to trust you or not trust you? So knowing this statistically tells you how critical it is that you make a good first impression. So some of us have to evaluate what that looks like for us, because some of us are such free, wild and woolly people that we just kind of, you know, jump into a crowd, and people like, you know, sometimes they're taken aback. Sometimes I find myself, because I'm effervescent, that I have so much energy that, you know, and it's not that I'm going to stop having energy, but the idea of how I express that energy sometimes overwhelms people, and it might take me, you know, a week to get to know them better, and finally they get who Mary Jo is. They find my heart, but my energy sometimes masks my heart, and I don't know if that makes sense to some of you. Some of you might relate to that. So you want to make sure that who you are comes out as that first impression, and that you come across as the person you want them to know that you are, and the truth of who you are, instead of maybe high energy, high impact, high whatever it is, or you know, draining, or whatever that might be. But be realistic, understanding in your understanding and awareness of how important that first impression is. And then how do you give a good first impression with your body? Well, open body language is really important, because when you're closed off, you're gonna cause people. All of you have met closed people. And you know exactly, the first thing you do is you start worrying about what have they been through, what's their problem, what's going on for them, they're unhappy, they need nurturing. You come up with all these conclusions. So you're not going to look at somebody with closed body posture and think, wow, she's going to be a great leader to help me grow my business to a $1 million business. You would never that'd be the first thing from your thought, from your mind. So we want to express ourselves with open language, and open body language is smiling. We want to be joyful. We want to make great eye contact, so we're not, you know, diverting, because of course that's more deception or hidden or hurt, or I don't want to be honest with you. I want to avoid openness. You know, so you want to make sure good eye contact. You want to keep your hands open, so the palms of your hand are showing. An intriguing issue, but that's part of the open stance. Keep your arms unfolded and your legs uncrossed, and just be open to receive. Being an open stance, an open sitting posture, that's the greatest way to give a good first impression to somebody from a bodily perspective. When you're in conversation with people, you want to try to match and mirror. And all of you have heard these concepts before, I'm sure, but our idea is that we're trying to get connected to this person, because until that connection exists, you're just dealing with an unknown. And you're not going to get very far with the person. So you want to make sure that you are able to make that connection with a person. And you make a connection physically. You don't have to, it's not about touching or sitting on somebody's lap. It's about physically matching them. So if you match and mirror your prospect's body language gestures, you will be more connected to them. So that if they show up with closed body posture, you can close in a little bit. That's going to allow them to feel more connected to you. If you're wildly open and they're closed off, there's going to be an immediate disconnect. So understand that body language speaks so much, so highly. Again, more than 70% of our communication is nonverbal, and body language is a big piece of that. So when you match somebody in their less language gestures, what you're really doing is you're telling them subconsciously that you like them and agree with them. And people will tend to want to align with people that are in agreement with them. So you have already stepped up, you already made some headway in your process of you know, getting to know them and drawing them into you. Some of you will say, well, Mary Jo, but that's totally contrary to open, greeting somebody open. Well, you can come across open, but as you have a conversation, what are you doing? You start matching and mirroring and mimicking their gestures so that you can be at the same level with them in terms of the bodily communication, right? Follow me? So it's not that you don't start the conversation open, but if they go in a different direction, you can follow that direction. Or you can take, you know, inferences from the direction they're going based on where the conversation has turned. So again, through mimicry, what are you developing? You're developing a whole level, new level of trust and rapport with somebody, and that's exactly what we're trying to do. You can use this the other way as well, to test to see if you've built a level of trust. So as you build a relationship with somebody, as you're working with somebody around Manatech, a prospect, and you're talking to them, and you see them starting to open up and they're starting to share more, then you could come with a closed posture and see if they mimic you. Because what happens is they're going to naturally mimic you if they're in alignment with you. There's going to be a subconscious that causes them to, because they feel this level of trust and camaraderie, so they're going to tend to mimic you automatically. I've never used this in a conversation. I would look at this from a legal perspective and say, this sounds more like entrapment. If I move one way, I'm going to get them to move the same way. It's like, but I think it's fascinating. It's fascinating to me that we can see the people, we can get that good flavor of where we are in the conversation outside of just pure eye contact, verbal languaging. We can find out whether we're making some headway, whether we're building rapport and trust by just throwing in a funny gesture here and there that's, you know, a closed gesture or something, and see if they follow us in that gesturing. If you're noticing that they mismatch your gestures, they go in opposite direction, then that gives you a big red flag. Wait a minute, I haven't made the connectiveness that I wanted to in this relationship yet. So it'll slow you down. It'll cause you to go back and reestablish what you're trying to communicate more effectively because you've already lost some of that trust level. So an intriguing technique to throw in some gestures in a conversation just purely from a perspective of seeing whether or not you're making some headway with a person that you're talking to. Here are some body gestures to learn, and I've set them out. There are three different categories. We talk body gestures first, then head gestures, and then facial gestures. And all of them have different meanings to them, so it's important to understand them. And what do you have to do to really understand this? You probably need to memorize it. Just get it down clear. Some of them are self-explanatory, but other ones are not as evident. So let's go through them quickly, and then we'll kind of give you guys 5 minutes to take a quiz, and then we'll open the call up and get see how people answer the quiz. But the first we'll talk about is body gestures to learn. There are two basic categories. There's what we, and when we're talking about body gestures, they're the open, closed, and the forward, back. Are you leaning forward, leaning back? Okay, so let's look at the forward. If you have two basic categories, each have two in them, then you have four possible approaches, right? Four possible combinations. So let's look at the first one. If somebody's leaning back and in closed body gesture, what would be closed again? Remember we talked about it? We talked about it being what? Crossing arms, crossing legs, you know, those kind of things. Not making eye contact, that's kind of a closed body. Okay, if they're leaning back and closed, that typically is telling you they have a lack of interest, right? Typically suggesting lack of interest. And a lot of us can read this like immediately. In fact, and what do you tend to do when you, let's talk about what to do. If you see, get into place with somebody who's leaning back and closed posture, what do you do? The most important thing you can do is engage them in conversation. Get them, probably you've been talking too long and you're putting them in a miserable state. They're already saying no before you even get done with your presentation. So one of the problems that you can say, highlight to yourself is, I haven't gotten them any level of interest. So spark their interest. I had a conversation last week with somebody, and we were talking, and I seemed to lose them a little bit. And then I said, so what are your plans on retirement? You're so close to retiring. You're only 2 years away. And man, did his body change. His body changed. His language changed. Now it was all about him, and he wanted to talk about him. And he had, you know, when you talk about people getting to retirement, some of these people have made plans for 30 years. I haven't even thought about the word retirement, and these people are making 30-year plans on what they're going to do in retirement, which is great. No judgment about that issue. It's just we're all made differently. But the idea that I got him, now he is totally engaged. So now what was I able to do from the retirement perspective? I was able to take that retirement and talk about, well, you know, what's most important in your retirement? Health or money? Really? I mean, you said you want to go fishing, you want to be out in the wilderness, I said, well, what if you got some autoimmune disease? Would that let you appreciate all of that? I mean, let's talk about what's important here as a priority. So it was really cool. We just kind of went in a different direction, but it was a mechanism to bring him back to the table, because leaning back and closed isn't getting me anywhere. I knew that was dead if I didn't make a shift. And who needed to make a shift? I need to make a shift. Because who's in control of the conversation? Mary Jo's in control. Just like you are when you're in a conversation with people. Sometimes you give them control, and then your prospecting call turns into an hour and a half instead of 15 minutes. But, you know, the idea here is that if you're in control, then move the conversation in a different direction to highlight something that's more important. Draw them into the conversation so they can be open and cheerful and going into leaning back and open. That's somebody, if somebody's leaning back and they have open posture, then they're usually, in contemplation. They're chewing on what you're saying. They're perhaps not. And sometimes when I see this behavior happen, my question would be something like, is there something that I've said that you don't agree with, or is there something that you'd like to add? And I just would stop and ask that question. Because obviously they're thinking about something. So you, again, engage them in a conversation. If you know they're in contemplation, find out what it is. Remember, once an objection, always an objection, right? So if they have something that you're, and they're not talking about it, you want to drag it out of them. You want to find out what it is. So if you see them in contemplation, you want to find out what they're contemplating, what's going on for them. You don't go, I see your body language tells me you're contemplating, so could you tell me what you're contemplating about? No. you can just ask simple questions like the ones I just brought up. Leaning forward and closed. Okay, so they're leaning forward to you, and they're closed body language. What does that mean? That's potentially aggressive behavior. And some of you have some of those people in your life, and you've been exposed to them. I have somebody in my organization right now going through with another person with aggressive behavior. But again, this is something you deal with from a perspective. If you can also ask the same questions you did with somebody leaning back and open, you can see, is there something I've said that's offended you? You could just say, is there something I've said that you just don't agree with? Would you like to add something to the conversation? Did you have a question? When somebody leans forward to me, usually I try to open them up by saying, did you have a comment or question you would like to make? And see what they have to say. Let them start talking. Because people that are aggressive, you're going to have to release that. You're going to have to prick that little bubble to let out some of that energy before they're going to be in a relaxed state to move forward. So find out now what that is that's bothering them. So never a better time than early stages before it keeps filling. It's like a balloon that keeps filling up until it finally pops. So you want to deflate that balloon as you go through your presentation. And then the fourth one is leaning forward and open. And that typically, if somebody's leaning forward and they're open, you're ready to close. I mean, you've got them in a position where they really are fascinated with what you're doing. They're engaged, they're fascinated, this is going to be a winning proposition for you. So just be aware of that. You know, a lot of people say, well, Mary Jo, but I'm not done with my entire presentation. Does it matter if you complete your entire presentation? No. If somebody's ready to close, you want to make sure to close them. And I like to shift, when I see that start happening, I like to shift in a position of talking about how to get started and talk about, you know, let's talk about you for a moment and really dwell on what your body needs compared to what you're putting in it today, and let's work with just you. Or do you have your husband? Is your husband an issue for you? And I go in that direction. So I start working on what are the dot products they're actually going to be taking. Or if it's about a business opportunity, I immediately get, okay, let's get started right now. What if I told you to write down a list? Who are you? Who are the, if you had to choose four people in your life that you would love to be in business with, who would those four people be? And then I just have fun playing that game with them because they're ready to be engaged. If they're leaning forward and open, they're ready to be engaged. So you can start even going in a direction of showing them how easy it is, 1, 2, 3, and getting started in this business. Okay, so there's just some ideas on body gestures. Head gestures, you have head neutral and open attitude. That's just your head is just basically in a straight up position. Tilted back. People sometimes when they put their jaw up a little bit, they tilt their head back a little bit. That's the superiority attitude, like egotistical, a little bit I'm better than you. And then they look over you. Tilted down is negative and judgmental attitude. And tilted to one side is more of an interest. It's a look at interest, like they're intrigued, like they're thinking about it. So you've got some interest. So basically, what do you want? You want either A or D. If you got B or C, you might have some problems, but you got to work on getting around those problems now that you understand what they are. The last thing I put in the outline was the facial gestures, and there are a lot of those, and these are just a few. Eye rub tends to be see no evil, deceitful behavior when people rub their eyes. Now, does that mean their eye couldn't itch or something? No. We're talking about somebody who's doing this not because they have an eye issue, but it's a habitual thing. Eye roll. When somebody rolls their eyes, well, we understand that's more dismissive. Okay, it's a dismissive gesture. But it also has a level of arrogance and superiority to it, right? Because when you dismiss people, that's what you're selling them. You're saying something about, I'm better than you. I know more than you. That's dismissive. C is looking, or you can get a lot of this eye roll or dismissive behavior from medical professionals sometimes, because when you come in with supplements, they do this eye roll stuff to you. C, looking over the top of glasses. Of course, a lot of people don't wear glasses anymore, but that's more of a scrutiny or critical attitude, and that comes across real loud and clear. D is nose rub, and that's typically a dislike of the subject. They're just kind of discontent. It's not of interest to them. And that's when you see things like that, again, what can you do in response to it? You can kind of come out and just say, is there something that I can that more meets your need than what I'm telling you about right now? You know, and see where they're in need. What is your perceived need? Because you remember, that's important. Michael Oliver, all the trainings you've been through, it's a need fulfillment business. So up front, you want to find out what the person's need is. The next one is hand or fingers blocking mouth. Anytime you put those hand or fingers up to your mouth, that's deceit. The chin stroking is, you know, and we see that often in movies and things like that, and contemplative people, and that's all about making a decision. And then the thumb under the chin with the index finger pointing vertically along the cheek, that tends to be a negative attitude and critical judgment. Okay, it's like a critique. It's like and they're not enjoying what's happening to them. Okay, so that just gives you a bunch of ideas to just think about and be aware of. If you can lock these in your brain and be aware of them, I just want you all to use this kind of information, like this week, on anytime you go out for prospecting, in the back of your mind, you always want to be going, okay, well, be aware of body language. Okay, be aware of it. Have this great awareness of it, so that you can grapple with it, and you be aware of your own body language. Just as important, if not more important, is your own body language, because what signals are you subconsciously sending? And somebody who's aware of body language, how are they reading you when they're working with you? All right, now the next thing I want to do on the call this morning, because this is fun, is there's a body language quiz. And I'm going to give everybody like 3 to 5 minutes. So let's do five, how about I say, in 5 minutes, I'll get back. I'll stay on the call. I mean, I'm not getting off, but I'll put myself on mute so I'll be quiet and you don't have to hear our background noise here. But let's take like 3 to 5 minutes to fill out the quiz, go through each one of those questions, and then I'll get back on the call and we'll just open it up. You can tell me how you answered it and work with you guys to say, okay, what suggestions do you have when you come across somebody like this? How would you respond, right? Okay? All right, everybody. There are just 8 of them, so it wouldn't take very long. So give yourself a few minutes to do that, and I'll be right back with you. Okay, we ready, everybody? Did you get your quiz done? Yahoo! Okay, who wants to go first? Anybody want to give me an answer? The first one we have, what emotion is associated with a palm to the chest gesture? Palm to chest gesture. Everybody can take themselves off mute. Yeah, go ahead.
Sincerity.
Sincerity, yes, absolutely. It's like kind of like, it's almost like saying you're communicating from your heart, right? That's what it's saying. So people go palm to chest. Now, is that a great thing for you to do? How would you use that in your Manatech business on a prospecting call? Whoever gave me the answer, give me that answer. How would you use it in your Manatech business on a prospecting call?
You can't talk to me because I don't do the Manatech business, Mary Jo. I'm sorry, remember?
Okay. Right.
Thank you.
Can you think of how you might use it? When you're communicating with somebody in a conference, in a call, one-on-one, when somebody talks to you about it, you know, starts talking about, you know, like what their needs are, and you can say, wow, as you're telling them, I really would love to support you. Let's talk about that. You follow me? And you just touch your heart. I mean, it's just, they can read that languaging. So you can just, when you express how you want to support them or that you really would love to help them or that you really feel like you can look at them and say, you know what, I believe that I may have a solution for what you're going through. Are you open to listen? And you could touch your heart.
Well, also, if they touch their heart, you know that that's something important to them, and you could kind of zero in now at that point.
Huge. It's like a gigantic red flag, right? It's like going, whoa, here, listen to this, watch this. This is huge, right? It's like, you know, you should be jumping up and down. Of course, you don't do that in the middle of a conversation, but, you know, inside of you, you're going to be really open to see that body language and respond to that, because otherwise you're missing what's really important to them, right? Because when they show that level of sincerity towards them, that's really big for them. So pick up on that. All right, the second question was, yes?
Another way is when they have told you early on that they've been taking lots of supplements and that they're, you know, using this and that, you want to acknowledge that and you can touch your heart and say, wow, you've really been trying to take care of your wellness. Oh,
right.
I'm touched.
No. Yeah, right. Or right, exactly. Or, hey, I really honor you. I'm sitting here as I'm talking on the doing this call. I'm going, I really honor you for the energy you've put behind serving your body in a right way. You know, just really honor them. I mean, people, that kind of languaging that you honor somebody. When somebody tells you they honor you, that's huge. That's not small stuff. That's big. That has an impact. So use that language to go along with it. Great. You guys are doing great. Okay, second one. What is the meaning of the thumb under the chin gesture?
Critical judgment.
Yeah, absolutely. Thumb under the, and when somebody puts their thumb under the chin, that indicates critical judgment and typically a negative attitude. And if you have a prospect that does that to you as you're presenting them something, what do you think is a good way to handle that?
I'd say what that I said doesn't make sense to you.
I noticed that you're thinking deeply. Is there something I said that you're not responding well to, or that you disagree with? Where are you going? Or something? Right, exactly. So open up the conversation. Let them talk. Because if somebody talks, can they talk with their thumb under their chin? No. Okay, so they remove that. That's one way. Another way to do it would be, how about handing them something? Ah. You got it? Make them use their hand for something other than that gesture. So that'll take them out of that mode, and then they have something to look at. So if you have some materials that you planned on handing out, maybe you hand out something to them a little earlier. If you're in the midst of talking about ISK, and you say, have you seen this on the Internet, where we have the endorsement from the International Sports Karate Association? They found that these products were awesome for their athletes, had tremendous results. And do you know Manatech doesn't pay a dime for obtaining endorsements from athletes and organizations? So this is not just an endorsement, it's an honest endorsement unlike what you see in many other instances where people are, you know. So you can, I mean, you can develop that as well, yeah. So handing them somebody might be another thing that you can do to get rid of that thumb under the chin, okay? That doesn't mean that their critical judgment is erased, but it just will typically send them in a different mode. You actually can change a person's mode just by making them move their, making different hand gestures, all right? So you have a lot of power. Don't sell yourself short in all of this.
Yeah, Mary Jo, along with handing them something, you can say something like, this is something that might help clarify, you know, what we're talking about.
Uh-huh. Or it might be something like, here's some scientific evidence to support. Here's one of our scientific studies to support what I'm talking about, right? Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Super. All right, then the next one, the nonverbal message is conveyed with the chin rub gesture. What nonverbal message is conveyed with the chin rub gesture? Nonverbal with the chin rub. When somebody's rubbing their chin, what is that?
Decision.
They're a decision. Yes, it indicates decision. Exactly. So you don't want it, when you see this gesture, you want to avoid the temptation to interrupt them. If these gestures follow that chin stroking, you can start looking towards, do you see how this, start going towards the order, okay? So you start asking them questions like, are you ready to take a move forward for your life? Are you ready to take a step forward to help your health, support your health? Are you ready to improve your family's health in a more significant way? So you can ask them if they're ready, all right? Because they're in a decision mode already with that chin movement, all right? Good. All right, next one. What does it mean when a person rubs his or her nose?
Dislike.
They don't, right. When they rub their nose, that funny thing, what's wrong with my nose? What if your nose just itches? I started thinking about how many times I rub my nose, and I really don't rub my nose very often. I couldn't think of it in my, but I'm going to be more perceptive of that, right, after I do this training. But the idea of rubbing a nose is an indication they don't like the subject. When you see this gesture, what do you think you need to do? We talked about it earlier.
Ask them what problems they have with it or what they're...
Well, ask them questions, but what kind of questions do you want? You want kind of open-ended questions, right? You want to get them to start talking, so you don't want to have a definitive question about, do you think this is right or wrong? You want to ask them a question like, you mentioned this. Could you explain that more to me? That's an open-ended question. It's about wanting more information, trying to get more information. So you follow? So that's what you want to do. You want to get out there and you want to just open-ended question that just gives them freedom to start communicating. But make sure it's, of course, tied to, it's not about, whether the Mavericks won the NBA Finals, or it's not about any of that. It's about something to do with health and what your or business, what you're communicating with them on. Anything that you're already in conversation on, but you're just letting them take the bull by the horns and run with it a little bit. So get them out of their dislike and let them talk about something that they like to talk about. And it could be somehow related to what you're trying to accomplish in the conversation, okay? So good concept there. The next one is, what message is conveyed when a person touches his or her eyeglasses to their lips? They take their eyeglasses off and they touch their lips. What does that mean?
I think they're stalling.
Absolutely. Stalling tactics. Exactly. They're stalling or delaying a decision. If they put their glasses back on, it's a bye signal. I'm ready to move. Okay, so remember that. So if they put their glasses and they touch their lips, they're stalling. When they put their eyeglasses back on, get the clothes. That's when you're here, okay? So if they put, and here's another thing that's cute. They say if they put the glasses away, that means that you have more work to do. So all of that just with a pair of glasses. I'm laughing because I'm thinking to myself, I can honestly tell you I was never aware of any of these things. But they say if they take the glasses off and touch their lips, they're stalling. If they then put the glasses back on, they're ready to buy. But if they put their glasses away, then you've got a lot more work to do. In other words, maybe they're digging in and you've got a lot more ground to cover before you get them to their buying, their nature of buying. Okay? All right. Super duper. All right. The next one. When a person looks over the top of his or her glasses, what message are they sending?
Distrust.
Yes, yeah, or judgment, a little scrutiny, perhaps. I'm not sure it's necessarily distrust, but you're under, distrust is, goes probably a little bit far. It's more like scrutiny and judgment, but we're not sure that they are saying distrust. They're just not in the mode of, you know, they're scrutinizing you more. They may not have reached the distrust, they're just in more scrutiny, but it's hard because those words can have a lot similar definition. I would think that most people who are scrutinized are somewhat level of distrust, but it doesn't have to come from distrust. It can just be, hey, I'm not getting enough information, I'm not, you know, or there's something lacking. So they're scrutinizing you, and they're really intent about watching every move you make to see. They're in the examination mode of whether they trust you or not. They may not have concluded that yet, but they're scrutinizing you. So you just want to be aware of that when people do that you're being watched, you're being scrutinized. So you want to just be, you know, stick to your guns, stay your course, and they're heavily entrenched in, you know, scrutinizing everything you say and do. This would be good for somebody who is a promoter. When you have somebody operate like that with you and you're a promoter, promoters tend to hype things up a little bit. We like fish stories. In other words, last week when I went fishing, I caught a 24-inch, you know, bass when it was really 8.5 inches long. I mean, that's promoter styles. It's not the, you know, it's like Ray Robbins is the ultimate example of that. It's not that these people are liars. They just have a puffing issue. They just like to puff because, you know, as Ray looks at me, I can go to him. I say, Ray, this just isn't true. And he goes, but Mary Jo, it's a better story. And I'm like going, I go, oh, come on. And I love him to death. There are very few people in that category who do that I can honestly tell you, because they usually upset me so much because I can never believe anything they say. But with Ray, I know his heart. I know exactly where he's coming from, and I know he's just a love bunny underneath it all. He just can't, it's almost like he can't help himself, all right? Okay, so. So beware of that. Go ahead, Ann.
463.
Mary Jo?
Uh-huh.
Can that suspicion be under those categories too?
Suspicion? It could be. It could be a suspicion because, again, when people scrutinize you, they tend to, they're wanting more information. So they could, there could be a level of a little bit of suspicion going on there in their scrutiny because they don't feel like they've gotten enough information or the accurate information, so it could be a little suspicious as well. Yeah, that could be in that process as well. Go ahead.
They're not trust your what you're telling them.
There's something going on with them that they're either not understanding it or they're not getting the information they need. So it's like I said, don't always look at it as a trust issue. I would look at it more like. Need more information, the information isn't clear to them, and they're very intense about, you know, what you're up to. So it's not, sometimes we read stuff like that as distrust when it really isn't distrust. Yeah. So be careful on that as well. Just say, is there something I'm missing, or is there something that, you can always ask them a question. You don't ask them, are you not trusting me? But you would ask them something like, is there something I've said that you're in disagreement on, or would you like it me to exemplify something, or further, would you like more information on any of the things that we've talked about? You know, and see what they say. Find out. That's my way. I'm really, you know, open about all that. I like to give people the information they feel needed that's necessary for them to make the best possible decision for their lives. And then it's their decision. And that's the way I look at it. All right, we have two left. Let's quickly, because we're past our time, and know what is the impact of nonverbal communication in a face-to-face conversation? What did we learn today?
70.
Yeah, over 70%. Right, you guys got that. Woo, very important. And then last one, which of the following gestures is or are associated with lying? Talking through your fingers, you know, people put their fingers up to eye rub, ear rub, lack of direct eye contact. Which one?
All the above.
Absolutely. In fact, it says the statue of the three wise monkeys accurately depicts the three primary hand to face gestures associated with deceit. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. And that's important that you understand that. Go ahead.
What's meant by talking through fingers? I'm not getting
it. Well, when people put their hand up to their mouth. If you ever see people put their hand up to their mouth and they'll talk and right through their hand, like they'll lean against like maybe their thumb and a couple fingers will go up and they'll talk through their fingers.
Oh, okay.
See? Yeah. There are people that do that. It's, you don't see it very often. That's probably the least of those that you actually will encounter. But be alert to that. Because
you see it in baseball, Mary Jo, all the time.
You see it all the time?
In baseball. When they put the glove to their mouth, when they're...
Yeah, that's because they're trying to deceive the other team, right? They don't want you reading their lips. That's what they're doing. They're just trying to hide their signals so that you don't take advantage of knowing what they're about to do, whether they're going to throw a fastball or slider or a changeup. Man, see, I can talk baseball language with you, too. I know all that stuff as well. So that's great. Good. Thanks, Rudy, for the conversation. That's good. Yeah. But that's not, we're talking about just in a normal, everyday conversation, not in sporting event. But he's accurate. They do that all the time in sports. Okay, guys, you are great. Go ahead. Any last-minute questions? Go ahead. What?
You said something about free classes and if we're interested, information from that?
On the Quantum Link classes? Yeah, I mean Quantum Think. Yeah, Diane in July is starting a series of classes, 1 to 2 a week, that she's going to have, and she's opening up for free for anyone who's reading her book. And what it's going to be is once or twice a month, she's going to have an open webinar that you can attend, or seminar. I don't know if she's doing it, a webinar or a conference call, where she's going to be spending probably an hour just reviewing one at a time the different distinctions in her book so that you can really get a flavor and then get some recreations around it, because you're going to be reading the book and they're all there. But she's going to try to help people understand them more thoroughly and give you a chance to interact with her. So that you'll be able to, if you have questions about some of them, never a better opportunity than having the author there in a call where you can have one-on-one conversation with her. And I think it's a great opportunity. You can go to her website, Quantum. I don't think it's up there yet. I haven't seen it, but trust me, when I get the information, I'll communicate it on a Monday call and put it in the outline. Yeah.
Right.
You betcha. You bet. Yeah. Anything to help you guys out in whatever direction you're pursuing there, for those of you interested, great. For those not, that's great, too. All the world to you both. Okay, everybody. Love you all, and have a great week, and really work on this. You know what I'd love to do? Next week, before I do the book review, I'd love to just hear some of you guys tell me about some experiences on reading body language, because the only way you're going to get better at this is really start being aware. And I know I need to step in this in a big way, so I'm making a commitment to all of you and to myself that I'm going to really watch this week, and I'm going to probably take notes and all that stuff, just because I want to really see how it all works out. Okay? So love you all. Have a great week, and we'll talk next Monday. Bye-bye.
Thank you.